I was thinking, what's happening with SAA? Because if somebody, so John, you're a journalist, you on the radio talking about newsy things 3 hours a day. What's happening with SAA? I'd go, I'm not so sure. There's a business rescue process, and not too many people think there should be. There are a lot of people who think that the airline should have been closed down, but critical people like Praveen Gordon don't think so. So there is a business rescue process, and it's taking money that a lot of people think should be used on other more important things, but yeah, I don't know. What's happening to the pilots? The strike, the lockout. I don't know. Is it going to fly again? Well, it did fly again to go and fetch vaccines from Belgium, but it nearly crashed. And was the flight licensed? And which is why. Good afternoon to aviation analyst Guy Leach. Let me ask somebody who knows. Where are we with SAA and the business rescue process and that coming to an end, and SAA being, in a very, very, very small way, certainly at the beginning, a functional airline again, Guy?
Hi, John. Nice to be with you as always. The answer is why you don't know the answer is because there is no answer. It's still a stalemate. Nothing is happening. Everyone is just sort of staring each other down, seeing who blinks first. The big battle, in the sense that a cosmic level, is between the two irresistible forces, the irresistible forces in this country, political change and transformation, and against the immovable post that is economic reality. So we've got the standoff with the pilots at this stage caught in the middle. So the pilots got clever after having been locked out on the 18th of December and decided, well, if you were going to lock us out, then you would strike anyway. Not that it, you know, obviously stops them providing their order, working for the airline, because they weren't working anyway. But it changes the rules of the game in terms of the way the whole process of trying to carve the pilots, the predominantly white male pilots, out of the organization was happening. The government has been completely upfront in its desire to transform the airline, and that meant that the people that had said it would employ were those who were from the designated groups, which means that anyone other than a white male, in other words, white females and anyone else, you know, included in that group. But the old guard, if you like, of SAPA have been fighting back. They've got this famous regulation agreement, which they, the government claims started in the apartheid days of 1988. That's not strictly true, which gives them rights, and it gives them rights in retrenchment. So effectively, SAPA is saying, well, we're not going to, we're going to strike until you give us our retrenchment. It's, they believe that, and certainly it would seem so, the first time a group of people have ever gone on strike for the sake of being retrenched. That's pretty much the state of play right now. How's it going to unfold? Well, my guess is that actually there are going to be enough pilots who will either break ranks. When I say pilots, I'm talking about training captains who are necessary to train the new 88 pilots who will have to get recurrency training to get up to speed to be able to start operating the airline again. But the real question then is when, simply because there is no demand. We've seen already how the other airlines are increasingly withdrawing their services from South Africa, I suppose largely thanks to us having isolated the South African strain of COVID, and the real rise of the third wave around the world. And I think that the reality that we're going to have to face up to as taxpayers is if we think SAA is in a bad position right now under what they would call care and maintenance, it's going to be an absolute horror show when it starts flying again and burning fuel and burning holes in the sky.
But the commitment to get it flying again, even if it's only two planes or three planes flying a very limited and largely local schedule, your sense is that commitment remains unwavering?
Indeed, it's so. My phrase that I use to describe government's commitment is it is transformation regardless of cost or at any cost. They are determined to get the airline back into the air. And really, the estimates for doing that are quite realistically in the order of 30 to 50 million, billion rand. So we've got a long way to go before we even begin to pretend that we're going to have a sustainable airline.
88 pilots, that's what the business rescue plan envisages being kept in the reconstituted SAA. That's a lot of pilots for an airline which doesn't have any passengers, doesn't have any scheduled flights. What do they do? I mean, and the number of people they wanted to keep, I think roughly 1,000, if I remember correctly, they wanted to keep 1,000 people on staff. But the chances of them being able to utilize anything like a significant percentage of the pilots that they want to keep on the books, and the number of other general staff that they want to keep on the books, is fairly limited, one would think, for many months, perhaps years to come.
You're 100% right. The business rescue plan is not a plan at all, but it did envisage a phased rollout or phased return to service and a gradual progression. You know, after a year, then that sort of doubled the number of pilots and so on. And we need to bear in mind that the business rescue plan, such as it is, was written a year ago, and nothing's changed since. It hasn't been changed to take regard of any of the new realities or any sort of, let's use that dreadful phrase, the new normal post-COVID in terms of demand for flying. And if I may be so bold as to say, I think that SAA's chances of success have been set back enormously by this debacle of the Brussels flight, with all its safety exemptions having been given, and then the aircraft having nearly crashed after takeoff because of miscalculations of weight. All this sort of stuff is just simply going to make the average Joe really reluctant to buy a seat on SAA. They would far rather travel on an established airline that they know is operating to proper standards, rather than one that's been kept going literally because of political imperatives.
Yeah, I mean, already I've had a couple of listeners saying there's no way I'd fly SAA again. And one asks me, would you fly SAA, John, if they started flying again? And I certainly wouldn't. I mean, I don't fly very much. But when I do, I have flown SAA in the past, internationally and locally, and they've been a pretty decent airline to fly with. But given what's happened over the last a year and a half, let's call it, there's no way that I would fly SAA in the first, I don't know, year, 2 years of a return to operation. Would you fly SAA in the first months of them flying again, Guy?
Never, not a chance, because really the only safety is supposed to be a non-negotiable. It has to go without saying that an airline has been operated to unimpeachable safety standards. And quite frankly, there are just a million questions relating to SAA's safety standards. One of the most basic of which is that the transformation process has specifically taken aim at senior pilots. The more senior they are, the more they are, the transformation agencies want them out of the airline. So effectively, people will be promoted on the basis of being previously disadvantaged, a designated group, and not an experience. No other airline around the world does that. It's an obvious safety compromise.
You're going to be accused of saying black people can't fly aeroplanes safely.
That's not the case at all, and we need to be very clear about that. I was about to elaborate that statement by saying that everyone has to pass the same sort of currency tests, but airlines over time build up a core of experience and competency, and if you're putting people, if you're promoting people into captaincy positions, not on the basis of pure experience, but on for whatever other politically expedient reasons, people will perceive, regardless of whether it's right or wrong, that the airline has been compromising safety standards. And given that there is so little to choose between an airline, you know, the old adage was that you choose an airline on the width of the air hostess's smiles. People would probably rather choose to fly on another airline for much the same price rather than on an airline which is increasingly looking shaky.
Guy Leach, aviation analyst, thank you very, very much for that.